SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty present the Underdog Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Conference USA Underdog Podcast on UnderdogDynasty.com, SB Nation's home for G5 football. Joe Lonergan and Eric Henry, happy to be back with you once again. And today we kick off an off-season tradition unlike any other, the Beat Writer Series, starting, of course, with Mr. Evan Dudley covering UAB football, among many other things down there in the Birmingham area. Evan, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourselves?
You know, not too bad. I think we were just kind of talking about the state of everything. And honestly, it's as good as it can be, I guess. Eric, how do you feel about that?
Listen, man, as a native of Tampa, Florida, everything's quite fine to me. I mean, Bucks in the Super Bowl, you know, city of champs. So I don't know what this stuff is you guys are talking about.
The dog surrounded by fire that's just like, this is fine. That's been the city of Tampa for decades. That's basically what you're saying.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, I know, Evan, obviously you've been part of this series before. Got some questions for you from us just to kind of pick your brain about the state of UAB football. Eric, if you want to kick us off, that'd be lovely.
Absolutely. So, Evan, I'm going to start with the defense, and defense has kind of been Bill Clark's calling card really since the program, you know, returned from their untimely hiatus. And one of the things I want to ask you is that, again, with them, you know, defense really being their calling card, they are losing a fair amount of players from the defense are projected to. Want to ask you just who are some of the defensive names to look forward to seeing in 2021 with, you know, really a lot of veterans departing from this year's team?
Well, actually, from what I've gathered, there's only really two defensive guys that are – or three defensive guys that are leaving that have played prominent positions these past few years. You got Jordan Smith, the edge rusher. He's at the Senior Bowl this week. You know, he's probably going to be a second-round pick, just a huge monster of a man, great pass rusher. Did a lot of great things for them these past 2 years. I mean, he's got a high ceiling. He's got a good draft grade. So he's one of those guys that gets to leave early. He could have stayed another year, probably another year after that because of the NCAA allowing the extra year of eligibility. But this might have been the highest he was getting, and it was time for him to go. So you can't really fault him for that. Same with Bronte Harris. You know, was a walk-on player for UAB, started his career out as a basketball player at Alabama A&M, transferred to UAB as a walk-on, became an all-conference player. He has a good chance of getting drafted. Then you have Luke Brasher. He was a kind of a backup linebacker. He's leaving, although he could easily stay, but he's also entered a doctorate program at UAB, so that's going to be soon, Dr. Brasher soon. So he's just got to go ahead and pull in his career to an end. But as far as the guys returning, you still got a T.D. Marshall. He was a wide receiver at Samford, transferred to UAB. He became a cornerback last year whenever Bronte Harris initially went down with his season-ending injury. He became a really great cornerback, basically won them the West last year with that pick six against North Texas. You got Chris Small coming back, linebacker from Miami. Obviously, he's got a lot of love out of the Miami area. A lot of folks come up and see him. You know, he's just one of those big South Florida guys that they got early, and that's kind of continued their tradition of recruiting that area. You got Tyree Turner, Makario Stanley, Tony Fair, all defensive linemen. They're returning for their final years because they had the extra year of eligibility, as well as Dejon Turner, the safety. So you got a lot of guys actually going to come back on that defense, and then you have the guys that are coming in that's been in this program for a couple years who have just been playing role. Mainly these past couple seasons, they're going to be able to come into the rotation. So this might be the deepest defense that Bill Clark will have during his time at UAB, and it will be hard-pressed for any offense to score a lot of points in this defense for next year, just looking this far ahead at this point.
All right, Evan, see, that's why we have you on, because I had seen recently that Christopher Mole would be taking advantage of the extra year and come back. Did not know about Turner. So that's why we go straight to the beat writers to get that question squared away. Someone who, to the best of my research and recollection, is choosing to pursue his NFL career, Spencer Brown. Just want to ask about the impact he's had on the program, and then also the future of one Dwayne McBride, a kid out of, you know, Ocala area, if my memory serves me correct. He had a really solid year, especially in the minutes that are the snaps he's able to see out there.
Yes, Spencer is
is the face of UAB these past four seasons. He came in as a freshman. There's a great story about him coming in deadlifting, I believe, like 600 pounds or something like that, or bench pressing 400. Just an incredible weight number when he was a freshman. So there was kind of that. He's got the strength to it. He had a big body, maybe not as fast as he was or fast when he was early in his career, but he came in that freshman season, really exploded, won freshman of the year in Conference USA. The next year when UAB won the conference championship, he was injured. He fought through those injuries, missed one game, still ran for 1,200 yards. Last year he missed, I think four or five games maybe last year, didn't get to 1,000 yards, but was pretty close. During the offseason, he took great care of his body, dropped a little bit of weight, added some speed, was more focused, was playing special teams this past year as well. So, I mean, he's kind of the he's been the face of this program. He's been the guy that has shown that, you can come in, maybe not many offers, but end up becoming a, a great player for your program. And, like he said at the end of this at the end of the championship game, his now famous quote, UAB legit, that's it. I know that's pretty much what he has proven during his time at UAB, is that UAB is a legitimate program, far removed from what they were, the 20 or so years before Clark got there. Now, moving on to Dwayne McBride, he looks to be just another young running back to come into the UAB program that has a great future. You had Jermaine Brown last year. He didn't get as much this year because of the emergence of Dwayne McBride. You look at McBride, he has the two longest rushing touchdowns in UAB history, and he did it all in one season. Obviously, there's one against Louisiana Tech. There's another one, I believe it might have been Western Kentucky or UTSA. I don't remember correctly on that one, but he had two 70-yard touchdown runs. He seems to have that breakaway speed, but you don't see it when you first look at him because he's kind of a bigger running back. But, once he gets out of that second level, he's off to the races from what we've seen on him this past year.
Hey, Evan, can you tell me a little bit about this kid, Trey Shropshire, Trey Shropshire. I want to get that one out, say that, a couple times fast. He had a huge game. I believe it was the Conference USA title game, if memory serves me correct, that he had five grabs or a buck 80. Just tell me about him a little bit, and can he be a name that you may see next year as far as the UAB receiving attack?
I think he can be. He was able to play some earlier this year. He was able to, I think he actually scored a touchdown against South Alabama. So he's kind of working his way into this rotation when Austin Watkins left the team at the end of the regular season because so many games were being canceled. So he ended up deciding to leave the team before the conference championship game. No fault of his own. This is, strange time. So you got to let some, people make their own decisions at this point. But Austin Watkins leaves, so you have Myron Mitchell there. And then Shropshire really got into the rotation at that point, really showed what he was capable of. And, just in the conference championship game, he found himself open, a few good times. And some of the catches he made were pretty incredible. You'd think of the touchdown catch he made. He really had to, keep an eye on that ball and stay focused. If you're just running that regular route and you don't think about it, he probably doesn't catch that ball. UAB might not win the conference championship. But, he's really focused on that. So I think he's a wide receiver who's really focused on the little things that's going to make him successful. And I think going forward, we'll just see how this passing offense develops. You have Tyler Johnson. He's going to be coming back for what seems, his 15th year. He's got the old Case Keenum, Jamar Chase kind of vitality in him as far as playing in Conference USA. But, as he develops a little bit more, I think Trey's just going to end up being kind of that one of those top receivers. You got Samario Rudolph. He had a great touchdown catch against Rice in the season finale. So they got some young receivers. Ray J. Johnson, he was a JUCO receiver. They signed a couple years ago. He was the top JUCO receiver. He was able to get a little bit of work in this year. So it's going to be a completely new receiving core, although they do return both their tight ends in Hayden Pittman and Garrett Prince. So that's going to be a huge thing for them, considering the tight ends played such a pivotal role this season, much better than what they had been the previous years. And that's a lot to do with Joe Craddock when he became the tight end coach.
Evan, I'll give you another name on that list of guys who felt like played football forever, and that's Brady White up in Memphis, a recent name who, of course, you know, transferred from Arizona State, Memphis. I think he was finished up his doctorate in Memphis. So, you know, maybe Tyler Johnson would be along those lines, you know. But we got this question from Twitter. It's actually from at UAB Sports Today. And they said, I know it's early, but what are y'all's predictions regarding the CUSA football season 2021? Joe and I will have plenty of time to talk about that over the next month, so I'll toss it to you.
Well, concerning what UAB has coming back as far as their defense, as well as they are returning their entire offensive line. There were three seniors on that offensive line, so they could have left. But you're going to return an entire offensive line that, you know, allowed three, maybe four sacks the entire season, you know, paved the way for McBride and Spencer Brown. So you're going to have a very experienced offense outside of the receivers. Defense is going to be very deep. So I don't see anything really that will get in the way of UAB once again competing for a conference championship. The only challenger I see for them would probably be UTSA. You look at Jeff Traylor and what he did at UTSA this year. Definitely a great job. He probably should have won Coach of the Year honors, seeing as though the Coach of the Year is no longer with his program. Yeah, I mean, so I think UTSA will challenge UAB next year, but I think UAB will, you know, win its fourth straight division title. We'll get a third championship, maybe, just depending on who comes out of the East and how that's kind of settled. But, you know, I think it's as far as they're out of conference, I think they can go probably 3-1. It really depends on what Georgia team shows up. We've seen Georgia play, you know, great the past few years. We've also seen them, you know, play down to their opponents. So that really depends on what Georgia they get early in the season, whether UAB can come out with a Power 5 win against a SEC team, which they have not been able to do so under Clark. But Clark's also more focused on winning conference championships. He's not as much worried about winning a Power 5 game, you know, once every few years and, you know, bringing a little, you know, little extra attention to the program for a week. You'd look at Tennessee a couple years ago when they lost to Georgia State and or Georgia Southern. I don't remember which one, and I don't want to get anyone angry because I made a mistake on a tweet this past year on a stadium name, and they all came after me. I apologize to them. But anyway, they lost that, and that kind of gave them a little, you know, a little air about them for about a week. But after that, they kind of fell off the national radar. So Clark's looking to, you know, build a program, not just, you know, get a good team and get a win in over a Power 5 conference every few years. So I think just depending on what Georgia they have, I think UAB can come out and, you know, possibly have a 11-1, maybe 10-2 season.
Evan, if it makes you feel any better, I had a little flashback. What was this, like maybe middle school or high school, when I sent out a tweet about a former, now former FIU linebacker transfer who I said was transferring back to the WAC. He was a former Boise State linebacker. It had been lost upon me that the WAC had been dissolved for football for about 10 years from now. And the amount of Boise State fans were in my mentions about getting it right that it was the Mountain West. Hey, you know, it happens. So don't feel too bad.
Hey, careful, Louisiana Tech fans will get with you too, because they were in the WAC for many years. I believe someone tweeted out something about Louisiana Tech being in some other conference for a while. I'm like, no, Louisiana Tech was in the WAC for many years. You know, just people don't remember that because you had West Coast teams and Louisiana Tech. It was like one of the weirdest, you know, conference alignments ever.
Sure, I referred to ULL as Louisiana, and we had plenty of Tech fans in our mentions there. So we're very familiar with Tech fans as far as that's concerned.
Yes.
Fun questions. You know, you're a friend of the podcast. We're going to take it a little bit outside of the realm of football here. Want to ask you this, man. Want to see, just in terms of your travels, not only as you mentioned, can't remember if it was the last time you were on or the first time we had you on, that you spent your 20s as a touring musician and now, of course, in your current capacity as a UAB beat writer. Want to ask you about if you had any just odd travel nightmares. I know I had one. I'm summing up really quick. Opening game this year at Liberty, you know, it was a nightmare to try to get to Lynchburg. I learned of the nightmare that is the Charlotte airport the hard way. But also, I also learned that you're not just going to go grab a Uber or a Lyft in Lynchburg, Virginia on Sunday morning at 5 a.m. And I was forced to start the 3-mile walk to Lynchburg Airport. And luckily, an Uber driver, I got that hit. And he picked me up off the side of the road. So want to see if you got anything that can kind of measure up.
I'm not sure if I could measure up to anything like that. I'm pretty prepared when it comes to being on the road. Like I said, you know, or you mentioned being a tour musician in my 20s, I'm quite prepared for all the wrong things that could happen on the road. Especially in my 20s, you know, you could run out of gas. I guess probably the biggest thing out of it would probably go to my touring days. I think this was back in 2011. We were going out to Colorado for a set of dates, and our van broke down in the middle of Arkansas. And if you've never broken down in the middle of Arkansas in the middle of July, don't. It is hot, and there's a lot of banjo plucking going around, if y'all get the Deliverance reference there. But it was not a very fun few days. Eventually, we took our 84 Ford Econoline van up to Mountain Home, had it towed up there, had a engine ready to be dropped into it that fitted. We were unaware of what kind of engine it was going to be. We figured it'd be, you know, the standard for what Ford was putting in their vans in the 1980s. Lo and behold, it was this this old redneck guy up in the mountains of Arkansas, really nice guy. Him and his buddy put in this new engine, and it turned out to be a Mustang Cobra GT racing engine that fit our engine block in this old Ford Econoline van. So we go from, you know, hacking, you know, across the road on I-40 to putting in a Mustang racing engine into our van and just clear cutting across Kansas in about 8 hours. That was probably the strangest or most fun adventure I've had while on the road.
How about that? Joe Lonergan, you want to pick it up from there? How do you follow that up, Joe?
I will do my best. Let me ask you this, Evan. With another Conference USA championship under his belt, we've heard the rumblings about Bill Clark kind of moving on to a bigger and better job at some point, several times over the course of the last couple of years. But I guess from you, is there any kind of heat check you can give us on whether or not Bill Clark's considering that, or if there's been any real progress on him moving on to bigger and better things?
I think he's kind of taking it in stride. I mean, he's got probably certain things that would shy some programs away just for the fact that he doesn't have a Power 5 win. Of course, you only get one per year while being in a mid-major program. Sometimes you get two. But, you know, he's doesn't have that. So that's probably a little bit knock on his record, although I don't think that's a knock on him as a coach or as a program builder, because he's been more focused on that. But I think with him bringing UAB to what it is now, he's going to be the coach this next year when they enter the new stadium, unless Tennessee pulls something out of their hat in the next few weeks, which I don't believe they will. I believe Bill's set for right now. He had that kind of flirtation with Auburn. There's a lot of reports that going around. Our editors, John Talty, probably had the best version of it out there from his sources. As we know, John, my boss, John Talty, has incredible sources in college football and is usually very right when these things go up, when these things go down. So a lot of props to him on that. But, you know, from his sources and from mine, you know, Bill talked with Auburn a little bit, but there was no deal. There was no offer. It was just kind of, you know, mutual talks, you know, what was going on. And it might not have been in any kind of official capacity as far as anyone inside the program. It might have been more, you know, boosters talking or people of influence talking with Clark. But I don't think it ever really gained enough traction for him to be considered a viable candidate or even interview for the position. Now, going forward, I think, he's obviously going to be attractive to some other programs within the next few years if their current coaching staff are unable to get the program going in the right direction. But I also think he's just going to kind of wait there at UAB because, he doesn't want to take the wrong job. I think that's something with Clark. He doesn't want to take the wrong job. You see a lot of guys from mid-major programs take a job at a Power 5, and within 2-3 years, they're out. They're going, back to a mid-major program or to Nick Saban's rehabilitation clinic in Tuscaloosa, one or the other. So I think Clark's just waiting on that right job, so he's not going to jump. State could be a viable option, Mississippi State, in the next few years, depending on how Mike Leach fares there, as well as some other programs. I think he will stay in the South, if anything. He's an Alabama guy. He lived in Alabama his entire life, save 1 year when he was an assistant at a program in Georgia. So he's an Alabama guy. So I imagine he would stay in the South if he does. But I would say he's going to be there at least this next year. We'll see what the coaching carousel looks like next year. But, there's a good possibility he could be there for a couple more years. But I don't think Bill will be there forever. I think eventually he will get a job that he considers really good in his eyes and one that he can have success at and without many obstacles being in the way of that.
Interesting. You mentioned the new stadium that's opening up this fall. From what I've read, it really sounds like it's going to be a fantastic addition to just downtown Birmingham in general. Right next to Topgolf, 41,000 seats, 24 suites. Basically, from your perspective, any updates you can give on kind of the progress of that being able to, you know, be ready to open when the new season comes around in the fall?
Yeah, it's going. It's on track right now. From what they're saying, it should be open in time for the October home opener, because as of right now, they don't have the 12th game for UAB has not been announced. So they could possibly put that at the very beginning of the season if the stadium is ready by then. But as far as right now, I think what they're planning on is opening their home season with Liberty. I believe that's like the first week of October, because they go on the road to Georgia and to Tulane the first 2 weeks of the season. They have Georgia and Tulane the first 2 weeks of the season. So unless they get someone else to go before that hand, they'll be opening with Liberty in the first week of October, I believe, for the new stadium, which will give plenty of time for them to complete everything, possibly little landscaping details, maybe a secretive Komodo dragon exhibit. Who knows? I think it'll be finished before their season opener. If they have one before that, I think they can adjust things to where they could, actually have this game on, in September possibly, or, late August, early September, forget the actual starting date. Every day seems like the same day to me at this point. But you got to imagine they'll get someone else in there. They might put it into a later part of the season, kind of give them a little break late in the season and prepare for a championship run. But as of right now, it's looking great. Everything's on schedule. When there were a lot of games being canceled this year, the coaching staff was able to take the team over to the stadium location and let them go around. They've really got a lot. Most of the steel, everything is up. I think pretty soon they're about to start going into the guts and inner workings and kind of filling that out. And kind of last thing they'll be doing is probably a lot of the landscaping work around the area.
Gotcha. I mean, if it was up to me, I think every college football stadium would just have a Komodo dragon somewhere within the stadium.
Right.
And then, like, if you find him, you get a free hot dog or something like that. That'd be my suggestion.
Excellent idea.
I got one guy on board. I knew I could. Mark Emmert has not answered my letters. Anyway. Evan, we got the Reese's Senior Bowl coming up in the Birmingham area. You being so close to the city itself, and obviously COVID-19 has changed a lot. But what have you kind of heard about, plans to go ahead with that, and whether or not some of these UAB guys and some of these other guys from the smaller schools in your area are going to be able to, use it as a platform to boost their draft stock?
Well, it'll be in Mobile, actually. That's about probably 3-4 hours from Birmingham. It's down there, the new South Alabama Stadium, although it was at Ladd People Stadium for many years before that. Mm. But still, in the state of Alabama, it's pretty close. We got two UAB guys, first two since, I believe, 2011, I believe. It was the last time they had someone at the Senior Bowl. There's always kind of been an animosity because Senior Bowl was run by a lot of guys who are very friendly with Paul Bryant Jr., and a lot of people know Paul Bryant Jr. is not a very big fan of the UAB program. Me saying this as an Alabama alum, we don't care too much for what Paul Bryant Jr. has to say too many times. He just needs to run his banks and leave the football alone. But anyway, you look at you got Austin Watkins and Jordan Smith down there. Those are two guys that are probably going to be drafted for UAB. He'll be their first draftee since Jordan Howard. I was trying to think of the running back's name. Jordan Howard, I believe an offensive lineman, was drafted many years ago too. So this is kind of their first showing in almost a decade at the Senior Bowl. So I think it's going to be a big platform for them, especially with Jordan Smith and Austin Watkins. Austin Watkins, obviously he was able to get a 1,000-yard season last year. If the season had played out like it could have been this year, he might have had another 1,000-yard season. So, going against, some other defensive backs who, maybe some from Power Five conferences or even other mid-major conferences that are got some high draft stock, that's going to be able to help him in going against those guys. So they can kind of see what he might have to go up against in the NFL. Although, as we see in the NFL, a lot more focus is being put on offensive side of the ball, even though defensively you can still win championships defensively in the NFL just because the game is played so much differently than it is in college. But you just look at Austin Watkins, he'll have a chance, as well as Jordan Smith going against some much bigger linemen, offensive linemen than what he might have been used to during his college days at UAB. So he'll definitely have a platform to get around that. And although the one knack on it is they really won't be able to see his the best of his pass rushing skills because he won't be able to get back there and tackle a quarterback. So that kind of takes away a little bit. But as we've seen from the Senior Bowl, it's more about what happens during the practice week than it does during the game. The game is just kind of the culmination of many things, but it's mainly what will happen down in practice. So we'll kind of see during the course of this week as, today's just kind of measurements in the first day of practice. But I think they'll both have a great opportunity to kind of increase their draft stock, maybe even increase their draft chances a little bit.
I think you mentioned Austin Watkins in there, obviously the cousin of Sammy Watkins. What do you kind of make of his potential NFL future and his overall draft stock?
I think Austin's got a good potential to get in the NFL. Obviously, he's got family in the NFL, so bloodline is there. People know, he can play some football. He's a big body guy, which is exactly what you need in the NFL. You can't have, just tiny little receivers. They don't do a whole lot unless they're, kind of moved around a whole lot. You look like, the Danny Woodheads, although some of those are, running backs who are smaller, moved into those kind of slot positions. The same can be done to smaller receivers in college, but Austin's a big guy. He's well over 6 feet tall. He's got some muscle on him. So, he can go up, he can get a ball in the air. He can shrug off defenders. So, I mean, he's a more physical receiver than what we probably see coming out of mid-major programs, although many mid-major receivers have obviously went on to have great success. You look at the Antonio Browns, Randy Moss, Marshall Loom, after his quick stay at Florida State, he went back to Marshall and played in his home state. So there's great receivers come out of these mid-major programs, but Austin's got that size to go along with it. He's got good speed, and I think that'll work within the NFL game, considering that the defensive backs you're going up against are much bigger and stronger than what you see day-to-day in the college game.
Yeah, any other names from UAB that you think are going to make a significant impact, either on the field next year, or just think are going to be part of a larger national awards conversations that maybe we haven't brought up over the course of the last 20 minutes or so?
Yeah. Obviously, you look at Chris Moll. He's just been a devastating defender these past few seasons. Having this extra year, considering that we didn't get all the games played, that kind of stuck a little bit of his stats down. But I think this year, he'll be another 100 tackler machine this coming season. He's going to be the unquestioned leader of that defense. You look at T.D. Marshall as well. He's going to comes in at Bronte's spot. He's going to be the top cornerback for UAB next year. He's going to do a great job there. He's already proven that he can adapt. He learns really quick. He's only been playing cornerback for two seasons, and he's even got many starts under his belt. So he's got the athleticism. He's got the, the intelligence to play that position. He learns really fast. So I think T.D. Marshall is going to do really well. You look at anyone from that offensive line, although, they're going to be, always graded as a group, but, they might not be up for any kind of national awards, but that's going to be a big part of their success for this next year is just that offensive line. And along the defensive line, you might look at Tyree Turner or Tony Fair. Those are two big guys who get a lot done for this UAB program, especially this past year. Tony Fair continues to improve, each season he's been with UAB. He's a big guy. He's a traditional, 3-4 down lineman in the NFL scheme. So you can probably look at Tony Fair getting a good look from the NFL in the future. Offensively, there's not really a whole lot of big names with so many guys leaving. Myron Mitchell, Austin Watkins, Spencer Brown, those guys are gone. So you can't really, the only offensive star returning that we know of is Tyler Johnson and a little bit of Dwayne McBride, which we've only saw a little bit of Debo this year, just from what he was able to see. So he'll get a full season in next year, and we'll see how he can navigate through that. But I think we'll see more from the defensive side, and we'll be probably more pleasantly surprised from the offensive guys as we will see who kind of steps up into these roles vacated by the guys leaving.
I think UAB is going to be a really fun team to watch next year. As you've said, and as we've kind of hit on over the course of the last year or so, I'll obviously watching them march back to yet another conference title. So we'll see what happens. But Evan, we really can't thank you enough for your time today. As we kind of wrap up here, I want to remind everybody to go follow Evan on Twitter at Dudley Do Right with a W, and check out his work if you have the chance. Always does a great job covering UAB football as well as some other local Alabama sports. And of course, Eric is at Eric C. Henry underscore. I'm at JOEHIO underscore. And then of course at Underdog Dynasty for posts from the main site and more off-season content coming your way real soon. Next episode, we're going to have Chris Vanini from The Athletic. So make sure you come back for that. Thank you so much for listening. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts if you haven't already. And we'll talk to you real soon. Happy football watching, everybody.